Good. Lord, bless the word to our hearts today. The title is Unwrapping Our Faith. I believe it's John 12. We read about Jesus being told that a good friend of his, Lazarus, was sick. Jesus delayed going to him, and Lazarus died. When Jesus arrived, there was a great sense of disappointment among the people because they knew he had the power to heal, but they're about to learn that he had the power was greater than death. He could raise the dead too in the Father's strength. So that's just what happened. And I think it's a picture of where we are as a body. If we can kind of just look at this last part. Lazarus awakens. Can you imagine what he must have been going through his mind? He goes, where am I? He's all wrapped up. He's in a tomb. And he's alive. What did Jesus say? He spoke to him and said, Lazarus, come out. That's something we need to realize with our faith. We all have faith. It just gets buried under different layers of world conditioning, unbelief, fear, whatever. And we need to really believe, like John 10, my sheep know my voice. Don't let anyone try to trick you out of that. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say it's a hard thing. If you're a sheep, you have the capacity to know the shepherd's voice. Jesus is speaking to his people now. Come out. Now you can picture Lazarus all bound up. He can't see where he's going. He doesn't know what's going on. He's bound. But first he has to come out of the tomb. We need to respond to the Lord's voice like Abraham did. He went out not knowing where he was going. It's called responding to faith when our mind isn't fruitful as to where the journey is taking us. And it's important because I think with a lot of us, we know that we're seated with Christ. We know that we're spiritual beings with him. Yet when we look at our daily lives, we kind of bog down in our thinking, well, I'm just kind of struggling here to be spiritual. I know in theory I'm seated with Christ. No, not in theory. In reality, you're seated with Christ. But in this earthly journey, we experience things that try to rob us of our awareness of who we are in God. We're wrapped up. We're in a tomb of unbelief, a tomb of fear, a tomb of the past and the past conditionings. Hear his voice. His voice will always draw you out of darkness into the light. That's the first step of faith. Lazarus is standing there. What did Jesus say to those that were standing around? Unwrap him. He was alive, but that life could only be seen when the grave clothes were unwrapped. It's so important. And it goes back to that word unrest. When you're standing there and you need to be unwrapped, what do? You stand there because only the Spirit of God can unwrap you, and that's what the body ministry is all about. Instead, we get anxious thinking, I can't see where I'm going, and we're running around bumping into furniture and trying to figure things out. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Rest. It's a place of faith where you're saying, I'm standing in your presence so that you can unwrap the grave clothes. And the light that you've put in me can be seen and experienced. The body ministry, unwrapping one another. Too often we look at the grave clothes of our brother and sister and we point the finger to criticize. Look at that. That doesn't look like Jesus. Well, no, it's not. Our job is not to criticize. You can't criticize and unwrap at the same time. Unwrapping is faith working by love. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You look at one, and we look at one another, and we say, "Well, look at all that human mistakes, and look at the personality flaws, and all this stuff." How can we say we're spiritual? We're spiritual beings walking out a human existence, and the humanity. If you want to describe it that way, the human condition that besets us is unwrapped by the Holy Spirit. And we all are part of that process if we love one another. Unwrapping one another. It's interesting. I was thinking about the scripture in Hebrews that talks about forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And it just really bothers me how scriptures can be used to support points of view instead of just letting the scriptures speak for themselves. And what I mean by that is, how often have you heard in church a pastor or minister use that verse to say, we want you here every Sunday, and while you're here, your pocketbook out too? It doesn't support that. It doesn't say you have to be at church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Going to church can be a duty and can be guilt-driven. Being the church is the opportunity to experience God's presence and share it with one another. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. So assembling together is not you'd better do it because the system requires it. That's bending the scriptures to fit our agenda. What Paul was expressing was, you've got this treasure inside. And when you come together, that treasure, that interaction with that treasure causes all of you to grow. What's happening when we're here worshiping together? Grave clothes are coming off. The grave clothes that are on our eyes where we can't see spiritually, the blindness, we're being unwrapped so we could see with eyes of spirit, see the way that God sees. When we minister and unwrap one another, we set each other free. Religion tends to be a heavy burden that puts people in bondage. You got to do this, you can't do that. You know, depending on what religion, that determines the weight that's on your shoulders. Only problem is, I don't care if it's 30 pounds or 300 pounds, it's not God that put it there. God wants us to minister to one another in love, unwrap each other. And when we're unwrapping your brother and sister, we're experiencing freedom. Freedom to be led by the Spirit of God. Freedom to be the light that God has created us to be. That's why Jesus said in Galatians, for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. Don't go back into bondage. Now we're looking at different levels of faith. I want to, for a minute, because there's a certain type of faith that's being unwrapped. God's put a gift of faith in each of us. And faith is a gift. It's also a fruit that's meant to grow. Faith is that living connector between you in this physical realm to God in the invisible realm. It's what makes heaven available to us. So as we unwrap our faith, the true faith, we unwrap the open heavens and access to God's Spirit. We unwrap that awareness where we can do what we see the Father doing, like Jesus said, and speak what we hear the Father speaking. That all comes from His realm. Now I'm going to talk about, for a minute, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because everybody has faith. Now the Sadducees and Pharisees made up the bulk of the religious leaders of the time. And they were at odds with each other. They did not play well together. The Sadducees were generally the wealthy, the aristocrats. They were more concerned about politics than religion. They did not believe in an afterlife. They did not believe that God was directly involved in our daily lives. I have to wonder then why go through all, you know, trying to follow the law, the pain of doing that, the discipline of doing that, if there's nothing beyond this life. But that was their belief. They believed in what they could see. There's a lot of people today that believe in what they can see. I'm not talking about just our physical eyes. I mean the eyes of our natural mind. If it doesn't register logically, it can't be. Pharisees were a step up from that. The Pharisees were more popular with the common people than the Sadducees were. They weren't more so much the wealthy. Both of them believed the written word of God, which was the Old Testament. But the Pharisees added oral tradition to it. That becomes a problem. There's somewhere in Deuteronomy, and I'm sure other places, talking about not adding to the word of God, but they would add to their interpretation to the scriptures. and they would consider their oral traditions as holy as the scriptures. It's again, going back to the example I gave, there's so many, and I'm not going to give more, you can think of them, when a minister will say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What God is saying is you're to be here every Sunday. You know, that's a tradition we have that we've added. The Word doesn't say that. The Word says we're to be in fellowship. And hopefully it's more than just every Sunday. Fellowship is spirit to spirit. There are some people that physically can't be in a church somewhere. So they're still spiritually connected. And if you pray, Lord, lead me into the relationships you want me to have, you will find the right spiritual connection within the body. Anyway, back to the Pharisees. They added a lot of things. Now, the Sadducees and Pharisees were united in one way. They hated Jesus. That's the only thing they agreed on. And it's interesting, at AD 70, when the temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was besieged by the Romans, the Sadducees, that movement ended right there. The Pharisees continued on. And I think a little bit of that Pharisee still continues on. We need that removed from our life experience. But they were in agreement about putting Jesus on the cross. He managed to offend both groups, didn't he? What was the deal there? What, the Pharisees, so devoted to the Scriptures. The Sadducees were devoted to Scriptures. The Scriptures were so clear on the Messiah. John 5, Jesus said it, couldn't put it any clearer. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find life. These Scriptures are all about me. You want nothing to do with me. So, being a Pharisee or being religious, we can love the Scriptures, believe the Scriptures, yet resist the very presence of God that the Scriptures are pointing to. Your mind can memorize Bible verses, but what's important is that your heart is open to experience God's presence. And unless we're willing to be humble, we're going to be resistant to that presence. Let's look at the faith that we're going to, that God's unwrapping with us. This is from Hebrews 11. You can read this later, okay? Because I'm not picking out just, I don't have the verses here. You have to kind of read through the chapter. It won't hurt you. Hebrews 11. This trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle of what we can't see. By faith, the world we see was created by God's word, the unseen world. By faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. We must believe that he is, and he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. This is what the unwrapping of the grave clothes produces. This type of faith. And this faith is centered in rest. Now, I want us to go to the Old Testament. We'll conclude with a slice of history and showing that the faith being a process. Now, why is this important? Because sometimes faith can be described as an action. Moses standing still before God, the Red Sea parting, boom. That was an act of faith. God did something very quickly. Elijah before was at Mount Horeb, dousing the altar with water. Boom, God shows up, devours the altar. Again, an act of faith. Changed a nation in a day, their awareness. But when we talk about unwrapping the grave clothes, we're talking about the process of faith. It's a fruit that grows within us. It can have acts of faith in there, but it's something that happens over time. We're looking at the life of Samuel. You can start with 1 Samuel 1, keep reading until you get bored. There's a lot of good things in there. But it's a process of faith that led Samuel to become the prophet that God called him to be. He was on the level spiritually, where it says not one of his words fell to the ground. Flawless, prophetically. It says God revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh through the word. In other words, the word of God was so alive that God's very nature and presence was imparted to Samuel. Before Samuel came on the scene, it says Israel was in a kind of a wilderness condition, not kind of, very, very much so, a lack of spiritual awareness. There was no revelation of the Father taking place. In other words, the physical realm was cut off from the heavenly realm. It takes the prophetic ministry to create the open heavens, where God's realm can infiltrate and change our realm. Now, where does this start? It doesn't start with Samuel. It starts with his mother. Everything starts with a mom, right? Hannah had been praying for a child, and Hannah lived with a great deal of disappointment because her prayer hadn't been answered. She comes before God. She says, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Powerful faith. What's taking place? She's submitting to God rather than trying to control God to give her what she wants. When our faith is submitting to God, it is a greater level of faith than faith that's just barking out orders, telling God to do this and do that. And that's what Hannah had in her heart. A quality of humility and submission, saying, God, I want a child more than anything in the world, but what I want most in the world, I'll give him or her back to you. They're yours. That's the faith that produces results. So Samuel's taken to Eli. Eli becomes the priest, becomes his mentor. He's being trained. I find it very interesting that Samuel is not brought to some great spiritual atmosphere. What was going on with Eli and the priesthood at the time was not good. His sons were very corrupt. They were stealing from the altar the sacrifices people brought. They were womanizers. Eli didn't know how to control them. And yet here, Samuel is placed at his feet. And Samuel is trained by Eli in the ways of the Lord. A prophecy comes. God says, I'll establish a true priest. He'll do what I want him to do. He'll be what I want him to be. That was the word over Samuel. He'll do what I want him to do. He'll be what I want him to be. So the focus wasn't on what was happening with Eli and the priesthood. The focus was on Samuel, what God was doing. Important for us. As our faith is unwrapped, we have a more singular eye to see what the Spirit is doing, and we're not distracted by all the things that are wrong. Because if you look at the religious system and take the blinders off, there's a lot that is wrong. But look for what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's birthing something prophetic that's going to change history. Remember, when Samuel came forth as a prophet, it started something, the school of prophets. The spiritual climate of a nation changed because of his spirit. He comes to hear the voice of the Lord. It says three times he heard a voice calling him, and he thought it was Eli. He didn't know the Lord yet. It's interesting that the religion is what we always turn to try to find answers, isn't it? God begins to call our heart. And the calling often is not, I'm not talking about something that's just verbal, but he disrupts us. He shakes us. God's trying to get our attention. We're uncomfortable. And the first thing we do is we run to religion trying to find an answer. Eventually, we recognize that the call is coming from the Holy Spirit, from God himself. And that's what Eli said. He said, Samuel, I'm not the one doing the talking here. You're hearing the voice of God. Listen to him. So as our faith is unwrapped, we're able to distinguish God's voice from all the other voices. Just because God isn't speaking doesn't mean that people aren't preaching or sermons aren't happening. God can stop talking and people won't. But we need ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. As we're able to hear, it opens up that faith. And as that faith grows, we hear clearer and clearer what God is speaking to us. And we can distinguish and discern God's voice from other voices. In my head, I have a lot of voices. I don't know about you. But anyway, okay. And this is what he says. Speak, Lord. I'm your servant, ready to listen. Now that powerful words. First thing, asking God to speak. Okay, this is, again, as we're enwrapped, we realize what we have to say isn't all that important. And we become more concerned about, God, what are you saying? Asking God to speak. Second, he identifies himself as a servant. The faith that God is looking for has a sense of identity to it. It's a servant that will hear his voice. And too often our own pride can get in the way. We don't want to see ourselves as servants. And all we're doing is blocking. God's speaking, but we're not hearing. Remember, Amos talks about a famine in the land, not for the word of God, for hearing the word of God. If we want ears that hear, we have to be on our knees before him as servants. That's when our ears clear up. We can hear his voice. Speak, he says. I'm your servant. My identity, I'm here on this earth to serve you. And then he says what? I'm ready to listen. In other words, my agenda, my action plan are on the back burner. I'm ready to listen to your plans. Who does that remind you of? Mary. Jesus comes to their house. Martha's busy doing things. Mary sitting at his feet, listening. That's how we learn the ways of the Lord. The new moving of God, the way that we would say this, if we didn't have this heart of Samuel, would be, instead of listening, we'd be telling God what we need and trying to get him asking him, saying, Lord, do what I want. In other words, if the whole human ego is in control, we try to control God, and we call it faith. That's not the faith that's being unwrapped. The faith that's being unwrapped is the faith that you're saying, I'm listening to what you want. If what I want fits in, fine. If it doesn't, oh well. Now, what did God speak to Samuel? It was a word of judgment about Eli and what was happening in the priesthood, wasn't it? Can you imagine how hard it was for Samuel to speak this to Eli? Remember, Eli was his mentor. Eli was the one that had been teaching Samuel all these years. Eli was the voice that Samuel was used to listening to. And here he has to go to Eli. Eli says, Samuel, you got to tell me what God told you. And he has to speak a truth that is very, very difficult for him to hear or for Eli to hear. As our faith is unwrapped, our love for the truth becomes greater than our fear of man. We all are concerned about what other people think. Let's not kid ourselves. But our faith can grow to where we will be faithful to what God speaks, whether it's popular or not. And that's what Samuel had to do. When that part is unwrapped, then the word of God can come forth in full power and do all that God intends it to do. Amen. Let's stand.